Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
All right, so last week I shared about how we've been rescued. Going through the times that we go through now, that really you could say about every season, every year, really, there's always things that we go through. But how do we walk through that? How do we walk in victory and realizing that we have been rescued and God has done the work through Christ? And that was in Colossians 1, and I just wanted to continue on into Colossians 2. And first of all, just reading this scripture here in Colossians 2, starting in verse 6, and it says, "As you therefore have been received, or as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him." As you have received him, go ahead and walk in him. Go ahead and walk with him. Don't just receive him and then just be like, yeah, I'm just going to do nothing, you know? It's like, that's what he's saying. It's like, I read around the words. It's like, don't sit around and do nothing. He said, walk with him. Do what he's called you to do. Ask him. Go with him. Follow him. He says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Rooted, build up. You know what rooted is? It's like trees got to go grow roots so that they can grow fruit. And I'm not one of those guys that does that like, hey, my words are going to rhyme thing, but that really works. But, you know? But like you can't, the trees can't bear fruit if they don't have the roots that are going to get the nutrients, get the stuff that they need to grow strong, to withstand the storm, to have everything that they need to put into the fruit so that the fruit can come out of that tree. So be rooted in him. You got to go deep before you can go tall. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. He's saying, listen, be rooted in him, know him, love him, let him feed you, let him strengthen you, let him be everything that you need, and don't be messed up by just the traditions of men, the world, this philosophy, this empty stuff that there is around us. Verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. And really, this is just like my starting scripture, and I'm going to go through the next few verses and stuff. But in this, I just see that he's just like, listen, I want you to know that you need to be rooted and built up in him. Get everything that you need for him to be strong so that you can bear fruit. Don't be deceived. Don't be messed up by this just like, you know, these empty things of the world as philosophy, you know, that is just somebody trying to figure out something. Christ has it figured out. He did it. He won. He's got the victory. He knows it all. Trust him. Lean on him. Ask him. You don't need a philosophy. You need him. And then in verse 10 it says, and you are complete. I don't know about you. I know there's somebody. I need to hear this. Did you hear it? You are complete. And you are complete in him. I needed to hear that. Because when I'm, going throughout the week and I'm like, I wish I could do, you're complete in him. Oh, look at that person, how great they're doing. You're complete in him. You are complete. It doesn't say by yourself, but it says in him. In him you're complete. With him, because of him, you are complete. You have everything that you need because you have him. So then he goes, verse 11, Colossians 2, verse 11, he starts to just kind of like break down all these things. In this church here, the Colossians, they right, weren't of Jewish descent. The church is spreading, and they, you know, are coming from the outside, if you will. And so he says, listen, I know you've heard lots of things, and really I feel this today. It's like there's all these things that, you know, I don't know. And he goes into, you know, he's like philosophy and these worldly things, and then he talks about, but then even, you know, these religious people that are stuck on their rules and regulations. And he's like, listen, you have to understand, it's about Christ. It's about him, about Christ crucified. He says in Colossians 2:11, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So this word circumcision means like to cut away or the cutting away of something that is extra, that doesn't need to be there. And so you have these Colossians, and they're probably all like messed up, like, wait a second, we have people telling us that now, and this is what they say, that there was probably these religious people that were saying, like, no, in order to be close to God, you have to be physically circumcised. And these guys are like, wait a second, I'm 45 years old, you know? And they're like, no, this is what it is. You have to do this. And so Paul is speaking to them, and he's like, listen, I need you to understand something. See, Christ came, and he did a work on the cross, and what he did was for you. And what this thing is a picture. It's something, a giving yourself over for a cutting away in a physical sense. And this right here, what you have done now is what he's saying, because you have come to know Christ. He says, the work of the cross, and when you come to know Christ, that is the cutting away of the flesh, the sinful flesh. And so he says, you have been. You have had that excess cut away by the circumcision of Christ. In him, you've been circumcised. I'm not going to focus on that today. But in verse 12, before that, you know, it's like, can you think of this? It's like this word, it means like it's a cutting around or cutting away, and also in like throwing off, casting away. And so when he's saying this, he's like, listen, this is what happens, and this is what needs to happen. And I have to see it like this, or we have to see it like this and purpose in our heart that this is what it is, so that I don't go back and pick up those filthy rags, you know? Like, that's trash. I'm not going to pick that back up. It's been cut off. It's been thrown away. I'm not going to go look for it. So he says in verse 12, Colossians 2, 12, you've been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. So he takes, because they've been told, it's like, no, you have to be circumcised in order to be close to God. This is, these are the rules and the regulations, and this is what God has told us. And Paul is like, you know, I'm sure frustrated because he's trying to speak to the Jewish people and the Gentiles. And he's like, look, she's like, can you guys just both like figure it out, you know? He's telling, hey, you don't have to live by the law, but yes, you will when you walk with Christ. But it's not because of the law, it's because of Christ, right? When I follow him, I'm going to be walking in a way that the law is there, and it's, and I see it, and I'm like, wow, I'm following it, but I wasn't focusing on that. I was focusing on Christ. Because the law just cuts at my flesh. But Christ did away with that. If I'm with him and focus on him, and allowing him to do what he wants to do in me, if we're in that place, then the law has nothing against us. Okay. So he says, listen. It's like, look, you did have that cutting away of the sinful flesh. That's what you had. But what you want to focus on now, he says, is that you were buried. Let's focus on this wonderful thing that you can do as a physical representation of your being buried with Christ, which is baptism. He says, you're buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. He said, look, don't focus on that physical circumcision. Focus on something that gives you a picture of what Christ did for you and say, I want to do that as a representation of my walk with you, God. I want to get baptized. I want to get baptized in water because I trust that everything that I need is in you, and what you did on the cross did the work for me and has victory, and I am going to get baptized. I said, look, take that. That's what we should focus on. That's where it's at, because that represents the work of the cross and that he was buried and raised again on the third day. In verse 13, he says, Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He says, listen. Don't be tripped up if these people are telling you have to do this, this, and this to be a Christian. It's not about the this, this, and this. It's about Christ, about what he did for you, about putting your faith in him, letting him be Lord and Savior of our life, and get baptized. Say this is what I'm going to do because I want to make that statement of faith with him. And then he goes on to just kind of give a little emphasis on like who we were and what Christ did. And you being dead to your trespasses and the uncircumcision of flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And you being dead, that word, that Greek word is nekros. And it means destitute of breath, or no power, or inoperable. And I could go on probably and just use all these words to like just paint a word picture, but it already gives it. We once were, before we knew Christ, or if you don't know him now, see, we're dead in our trespasses, that we lack the breath, we're destitute of breath. I don't have the breath to live because he is the one that gives me my breath. that because of this sinful flesh that I once carried, or maybe that you are still carrying today, that I don't have the power. It's not there in order to really get the life of God, real, true life that He created us for. That we're just walking around as dead men, dead women. Right? Not just mostly dead, but all dead. All the way. It says you were dead. But what happened? He says, He's made us alive together with Him. Yeah. Having forgiven all trespasses. It says, I love that. So he's made us alive, but not just alive by ourselves. And it can't happen if we're by ourselves. It says He's made you alive together with, He is, whenever you come to this place of knowing Him, now you're together and you're alive because you're together. Because you're with Him. Because His breath now is your breath. His strength now is your strength. He's everything that you need. Now you're alive together with Him because He's forgiven all, not just some, not just a little bit, or not just the ones that weren't that hard to get rid of, you know? But all of your trespasses. You don't know. I've done so many things. I've been so bad. I've done so much. This. You don't know how I grew up or what, how I was raised or my family history. No, I don't. But you know who does? He does. He does. And He said, I want to do this for you. You're like, who, me? Like, me? He says, yes, you. No matter what that thing is, or that history, or the family, or whatever. He says, yes, you. It's not that I just, you know, as long as it's easy, He doesn't say, that's the way that I work, you know? He didn't do it the easy way. It's not just looking for the easy, you know, peasy things. It says He forgave all. Can we see that? And in this, and in what I believe Paul is trying to do, he's like, listen, can we just see? Can we just understand what He did? Who you were, what He did, who you are now, and how complete the work is? Like, can we just, and you know, you're like, oh yeah, I knew that. But do you live it? Do I live it? That's the thing, you know? And I know, I always tell you this. It's like it's always something. God's dealing with me, and I'm preaching something, but it's for me. Because I can go throughout the week and be like, oh, yeah, God, just You're so good. And then something happens, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you know? And God, He's like, did you forget? Did you forget? Did you forget who you once were? Did you forget what I did for you? And did you forget who you are now? You're dead. You once were dead, but have been made alive together with Him. You know, I love this quote. And I don't know who it's from, but it's just a simple quote. And it says, a sick person may need a doctor, but a dead person needs a savior. And I love that because it's like, I don't want to just see myself as a sick. I don't think we should just see ourselves as sick people. You know, like, oh, I need a little bit of work, God. Because somehow I feel like whenever, you know, it's like I just need a little bit of work. Somehow I feel like I've kind of got it under control, or maybe I'm doing okay. But the most amazing thing is when we come and say, I'm dead, God. I have nothing. I need you to do everything. I need a Savior. I can't do it on my own. He says, I got you. I got you. I've made you alive together with me. We are going to walk together. And we're going to do this. In verse 14, Colossians 2, 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. See, in this work that he did, he wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Right? It says he's wiped out this handwriting of requirements, and it is like a debt. They say it's like a legal document. It's a meaning of like a debt that we have that we can't pay back. A legal proceeding that we can't win. And it says that he's taken those documents, those papers, and he's taken them to the cross. He's wiped those things out. They're gone. And he's nailed them to the cross. I preached more about that a little while back. But do we see that? Do we understand that? Those debts that we have. We are just full of debt. Full of legal documents that are against us. And I'm not even saying in our actual lives, because that's the case a lot of times now anyway. It's like, I got a car payment, I got a house payment, I'm talking about spiritually. Our lives. The sin, the shame, all these things that I can't pay that. I can't pay that debt. I can't somehow argue my way out of this ticket that I got that says that I can't make this relationship with God work by myself. It says I need him to take that to the cross, to cancel that thing out. In verse 15, Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. So he keeps like building, like, listen, understand who you were, what Christ did, who you are, how you need him, how he's wiped away the sin and the shame. He's canceled that debt on the cross. See what the cross did for you and who you are now. And not only that, now, like, you know him, you love him, you're walking with him. And but look, don't even just, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, he took my debt to the cross and all this stuff. But look at all these principalities and powers. Look at all this stuff I have to go through. You know, listen, I love this. Because he goes on, he's like, listen, not only that, you know what he did on the cross besides just dying for your sin, you know, and canceling that debt? You know what he did on the cross? He disarmed principalities and powers, and he not only disarmed them, he made a public spectacle. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He disarmed the enemy principalities, and he armed you. Like, I don't know about you, but whenever I think about that, whenever I, like, oh, wait a second. How in the world could I wake up and be like, God, it's just so tough. And God's like, man, I took their weapons away and I gave you the most powerful weapon that you could possibly have. Literally, they have no physical weapon. The only weapon they have is the power to try and talk you into believing them. The only power that they have is the power of persuasion. God, the devil, the enemy, just doing this to me. He's like, well, he just talked you into doing it yourself. It's a little tough to hear, but that's basically what it is. Look what he's doing to me. Well, he just kind of put a little word in your ear to say you're not enough and you can't do it and there's people better than you and all this bad stuff's going to happen in your family and you're going to lose your job and you're going to, he likes to talk. It can be constant. It will be relentless, but all he can do is talk. He's been disarmed. God, he just like this attack. And he's like, yeah, he's attacking you. He's attacking you with his words and causing you to attack yourself. And then all of a sudden, you're all beat up. And you're like, look what the devil did. And he's like, you look from where I saw. It was like you just punching yourself over and over and over. He's disarmed the enemy principalities, but he's armed you. He's armed you. It's like, I need ear filters that only hear God. You know? I mean, it's a very simplistic view of it, but like, think about that. You know what? I do like to just make things super simple, and it's like, how do you know if it's God? How does it make you feel? You know, in this book that I'm reading, it is talking about how what the enemy does is he tries to replicate things that God does in the opposite way. And God gives us this power, this, you know, when he speaks something over us and the enemy uses our senses, our feelings, because whenever he speaks something to us and in our brain, this is how our brain works, whenever it goes through our brain and we think it, it can bring feelings along with it, right? It's like not just, you know, like I thought, you know, this bad thing is going to happen, maybe today. But then all of a sudden, I'm feeling this fear creep up inside me. And so what he does is he just basically tries to lead you the opposite. I mean, you know that. But think about that. In what is going through your mind, what type of feelings does it bring up? Because I know what kind of things come from God. There's joy. There's happiness and strength and courage and. And I know that what comes from him is fear and weakness and death. So what are you feeling? I want to feel like I'm armed. I want that feeling of I got the armor of God. I've got the weapon that he gave me. And this literally is OP. You have to be a little bit younger probably to... A little bit younger than me, actually. All right? A couple of you guys. It's overpowered. It's like kids. They start yelling when they're playing games. And Miles, what's the word? Come on now. Come on up here. It's like every 6 months it changes, like to the person that's like two. It used to be a tryhard. What is it now? Okay. Sorry, I'm getting on a tangent. But I've got everything that I need because I have him. I have his armor. I've got the weapon that he's given me. The enemy doesn't even have a weapon. All he can do is try to talk me into taking my armor off and dropping my weapon so that I can be vulnerable. That's the only thing that he can do. It says he triumphed over them. Triumphing over them. I mean, really, the victory has already been won, right? We've been rescued. The victory is won. And it's complete. Like, can we see it? Can we live in it? And he uses this word, and it's like in 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15, it says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Now listen, it's this, he's talking about this victory. Right? There's triumph. He's already won. And when we think about it this way, listen, this is what God wants for our lives. This is how he wants us to live. He says, look, see, Paul, in this letter to Colossians, he's like, see, yeah, see what you once were, but see what Christ did and see who you are now. The work on the cross, that debt, that legal document, whatever, all that stuff, that mess, the body of sin that has been nailed to the cross, it's been wiped away, right? Cut off and thrown away. Don't go look for it again. And then it says, and the victory is won. The enemy has actually been defeated and the weapons have been taken away from them. And he's given you his weapon to use against the enemy. So now it's not even fair. It's not even a fair fight. But it says, listen, in this victory, in this triumph, listen to what he says in the scripture. Listen to what our life should, he says, this is what I want your life to be. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us, right, triumph in Christ, and then through us, diffuses. Anybody got a diffuser in their house? Yeah, one of those, you got like little essential oils in it and smells good, you know? You like walk in the house, like, oh, it smells. It's like a spa in here, you know? You know that feeling that you get? That's why you get by one of those things, or why when you walk into like a spa and you're like, oh, I already feel relaxed, you know? Because they put those smells in the air, the relaxing smells, you know? And you don't even know it, and you're already getting relaxed. They're like, we don't even have to do anything. They just walked in, you know? But think about this. This is what he's telling us. He says, this is who you are. And through us diffuses the fragrance, not my fragrance. I don't think you want my fragrance. Not through us, through you and I, that the fragrance of his knowledge can be released. The fragrance of who he is. For we are to God. It says, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Wow. that God looks at you and I as the fragrance of Christ, that when he sees what I, that when you walk into a room, it's like, what's that smell? Oh, it's Christ. Yeah. Why is there such peace in this room? Why, whenever I'm around you, I feel peace and I feel better. You know, I feel like this weight is just like, just what is it about you? It's the fragrance of Christ. It's not me. It's not what I bring. It's definitely not how I smell. But it's the fragrance of my Savior. The fragrance of grace. Fragrance of mercy and peace and love. See, just like Paul, like in this letter, and I feel like so much like that in my, like my burden, my, like what I feel is just like, gosh, you know, and like I said, it's like I'm trying to get myself to like be a warrior, let's say, in this. And all I'm doing is just telling you how I'm making it, you know, and hopefully we can all do it. See it that way, because that's what it is. But I just want us as your people to be able to know, just to truly know who we are. That we understand. That we understand who we were, God, but what you've done for us. And the work that you've done so that, right, we see that and then know that when we're walking forward from that moment that I am not the same person. That I don't carry around those dirty rags, right? That sinful flesh. I don't carry that around. What I carry around now is armor. I don't carry around heaviness, right? He said his burden, his yoke is easy, his burden is light, right? And you're like, well, how does that even make sense? But it is. It's amazing. Think about that. My garment of sin, just this robe of sin, is so heavy that I could barely walk in it. But because of the work of Christ and what he's done for me, that bathrobe, if you will, of sin is taken off. And I put on armor that is so much lighter that I feel like I'm walking on the moon. What kind of material is this? What kind of material was that? You know, it's like, that's just fabric. This feels like the most amazing metal armor. Like, I feel tough. You know, I've got your armor, God, but it's so light. I'm just like floating on it. I don't know about you. I just like to think about like that stuff that way. But can we live that way? Can we see that? That's, oh. Because what he wants, how he wants you and I to live out our life, to walk out each and every one of our days and to wake up and to go to school or to go to work or go to our family's house or, you know, go to the park, go grocery shopping, go out. It's like, listen, you're a diffuser, man. You're a diffuser. The fragrance of Christ is emanating, can be and should be emanating out of you. That's what he wants. That's who he wants you to be. That's how he wants us to live. Will you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.